Thank you, Lord. God is a good God. He is so good. Praise God. Well, let's turn over to Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. All right. It says there, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We've been talking for several weeks, starting with this text, and just talking about our place and that we're growing together and that God is building something on this earth, the church. He is building us up. It says in, let's just read it through again. We'll stop at a few points. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's the church. We're the church. This building isn't the church. I know we say, well, let's go to church. But what we mean is we're going to go to the gathering place and meet with the church. We're the church. People. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the basis. He's the foundation. He's what was built on. Without his finished work, there is nothing. Verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And we don't have time to go through everything we've talked about, but we've been saying that we each have a place, that we each have a part, that there's a reason we come together, that it's scriptural that we come together. The Bible says that we ought not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, that we draw strength from each other, that we each have a part to play that impacts everybody else. That if everybody does their part, other people will be impacted. And if we don't take our place and our part, that other people will actually not get to the place they need to, the way it ought to be. Now, God's faithful, and if we're faithful and take our place, we're going to get to where we need to. But we want the best. We want His best for us. Amen? Amen? We want the highest level. I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has for me. I want to run this race full. You don't want to run it too fast. It's a marathon. You don't want to get tired out, run real fast for a little bit, then fall on your face and go, can't go no more. You know, like the rabbit and the hare. He stops. He stops. And the hare just keeps plodding on. We want to go the right pace, the right way, so that we finish the way we ought to. Doesn't do any good to get to the first mile marker really fast and then not get to the end of the race. You don't win that way. You don't get any prize for getting to a certain place in life fast. You don't want to burn out. You don't want to keel over. We want to go the right speed. We want to let God add to us as we walk through this life with Him. He'll grow us up. He'll add what we need. He'll strengthen us. He'll get us where we need to be. He's equipping us. Then you look on your scripture sheet. We've read this several times, but this brings it out a little bit better. Verse 22 in the Williams translation says, and you yourselves in union with him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up together, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit. We're being built up. As we're in union with him and in fellowship with one another, we're being built up into what we ought to be. And we've gone into different facets of that. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go over to Ephesians 4, verse 11, just a couple chapters over there. We'll read this again. We've read this several times. Ephesians 4:11. And we'll jump into the direction we're going today. I encourage you to go back, and if you missed any of those, this is the fourth one, I think. I encourage you to go back and listen to them. They'll help you, give you some greater context. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave to some to be apostles, prophets," or some prophets, "some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Why did he give these gifts? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying," or the building up, "of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And now notice, this is, he's saying he gave gifts, and now he's telling us why he gave these gifts. And this is all after that. So he said, he's going to equip us, verse 14, "that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love." Now notice how that context, now it's good to speak the truth in love, but notice the context he's talking about. He's talking about he gave gifts that would do these things, speaking the truth in love. "Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head." Who's the head? Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the top. Highest name in the universe. "That we would grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So notice what he's saying here. He's given gifts in the body of Christ. Why? He says to equip us so that we can do the work that he's given us. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Till we all grow up. Verse 14, "that we should not know, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, going this way and going that way, and then this sounds good, and then this sounds good." No, he's saying he gave gifts to stabilize us and to help us and to get us where we need to be. And that as we speak the truth in love, that we're going to grow up in all things. That we're going to grow up in all things. Thank you, Lord. Now, we were talking about last week specifically the gift of a pastor, and that we, as we gather together, because we've been talking about getting together, gathering together, one of these gifts is the pastoral gift, the local body. And some of the facets of that, we're going to continue on that today. Notice, he gave gifts. Why? So we could be equipped, so we could grow up, so we could be strong, so that we could do what we need to do. This applies to everyone, right? Nobody's exempt. In the church, we should all be practicing this. We all need what God said we needed, right? Is anybody smarter than God in here? No, we're not. The devil's cunning, though. He tries to get us off and to make us slip into things. Let's turn over, actually on your scripture sheet. We'll just do it that way for now. Just look on your scripture sheet, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Thank you, Lord. You guys believing with me, right? That the right things are going to come out this morning. I have some things on our heart we want to come out the way it needs to. We don't need anything that doesn't need to come out to come out. We want to hear what God wants for us. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." Now notice that. He calls him the great shepherd. We've seen he's the cornerstone. We've seen that he is the head. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. So he is the ultimate shepherd over us all, right? He's the one that is making sure he's going to make an avenue for us to get what we need. He's our head, ultimately. Jesus is our head. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd, it says in another place. It says that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's read this in the Amplified. It says, now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement or covenant and testament. Verse 21, now may the God of peace do this, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever to the ages of the ages. Amen. So be it. But notice verse 21, strengthen. This is what God, he's praying for these people. Now may God do this. May he do what? Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be. Do we all want to be what we ought to be? Yes, we do. I want to be what I ought to be. What I'm supposed to be now. Now, you know, we've all come from different backgrounds. We've had different things put into us. And God knows all that. That's why he's the chief shepherd. And he says, I see where you've come from. I want you to get over here. And I know exactly how to get you there. And do you know not everybody has the same path? Do you know not everybody needs the same word at the same time? Do you know, have you ever experienced this? You get a hold of something. You see something in the word, or somebody says something to you and you say, this is awesome. I see this. This is totally wow. And then you go to share it with somebody and you tell them, and you can tell by the look in their eye, they're like, so what? Because it hit you right where you were at. And you needed that, and it helped you. But somebody else is at a different place, coming from a different angle. You think everybody should feel like you do. That's why you giving things to other people. Have you ever done this? I've done it. You know, well, you need to listen to this tape. I did that with somebody once, or whatever. Just because if somebody blesses us, or something hits us right where we at, We God was speaking to us right in our place where we need it. But then we give it and we say, well, what? And they listen to it and they say, yeah, so what? I remember Kenneth Copeland said something about that. He it was like, I can't remember the specific thing, but it was like that we're redeemed from the curse of the law or something. And he went to glory. He just got a higher revelation about it. Something like this. And he said, no, do you realize we've been redeemed from the curse of the law? And Glory just looked at him like, yeah, yeah, we've talked about this before. What are you trying to say? Because something went off on the inside of him and went to a higher level, and his spirit was being nourished, but that's not where she was at or needed to hear. So we all have a different place, that we're all coming from a certain angle, and the chief shepherd knows where we need to get to. Do you believe that? And he knows exactly where we need to go. And we'll say a few things about that here in a minute. He said that he'd strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will. I want to carry out his will. I want to be fully equipped to do that. Fully equipped to carry out that will. Look on your scripture sheet right there, Ephesians 4:12. This was in the previous passage that we read in Ephesians, but it's in the Amplified. Notice it compared to Hebrews. His intention what? His intention in giving these gifts was what? The perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do work of ministering toward building up Christ's body. Now look again at verse 21 of Hebrews. Now what it said that it's through Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, right? He's the chief shepherd. And what is God going to do through him? He's going to strengthen, complete, perfect, and make us what we ought to be and equip us with everything good that we may carry out his will while he's working on us. Now go down and look at Ephesians 4:12 again, Amplified. Now this is talking about he gave gifts for this reason, that his intention was perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body. Do those sound the same? Yes, they're equipping. He's saying God, Jesus, the chief shepherd, is going to equip us, and God's going to do this through him, going to equip us and perfect us and build us up so that we can do his will, make us what we ought to be, right? And then it said God gave us gifts in the church to equip us, to help us, to get us where we need to be. This is one of the ways we get where we need to be, is by hooking up. Now, there are many gifts given to the body of Christ. We read it there. Apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We need them all. But one thing we know is that we all should be in a local body. We all should be part of a church. And the pastoral gift is part of what God's going to use to build us up. I want you to take this wherever you go. Whether you're here for a year or 2 years and you go somewhere else, wherever you are, know this, you need to be in a body of believers. You need to be under a pastor. That is what's going to help you be fully equipped and strong and get where God needs you to get. Period. Period. We need to be with one another. We need what God has put this in place. He's the chief shepherd. We're going to see this in a moment. Pastors are under shepherds, no matter who we are. We talked about this last week. You know, like Brother Hagin, internationally known prophet of God. He would sit with his son as a pastor, go to that church, go to Rhema, and he considered his son his pastor. And his son is how many, you know, decades younger than him. Here's a man that has walked with God for decades, but he needs a pastor. He's not too good or not too high. That ought to be a lesson to us all. It's God's word. And if we don't look at a man, if we look at it that we can receive from the word of God, because we're going to get to that, it's the word of God that teaches us and brings us up. And that's why it is so important that we get where we're supposed to get, to the right body. There is a place for all of us. We're not supposed to be connected with everybody. Not everybody. That's why there's different churches. I mean, there are different reasons why there are different churches, but that's one of the reasons. Just like God creates people different. It's not a matter of choice. It's saying, God, where do you want me? Where's the place that I'm going to bloom and that I'm going to be equipped and you've hooked me up with? Where is it? Hook me up with them, and then you stay hooked with them. Period. Until God says otherwise. Till God says otherwise. I said, till God says otherwise, not we say otherwise in some way. This is life or death. And this is the truth. And regardless if you go here or any other place, you take this wherever you go. And we all should be hooked up. If God moves us across the United States, we ought to be hooked up in the right body. We ought to make a decision to move based on if the right church is there. Don't take the right job, you think, and then as a second thought say, oh, is there a church there? That's part of it. Did you hear me? This matters for our family. This matters for our health. It'll all work together. If you say, God, where do you want us? If we're moving, God, where do you want to show me where you want us to be? And is there the church that will nourish my family? Because if our spiritual life is not taken care of, it's just a matter of time before everything else is not taken care of. Don't go by sight. Don't go by what you can see. Well, do they have this program or that program? Throw all that out the window. God knows what do we need. He knows. So don't go by that. Go and say, God, where do you want me? Because that's the place the chief shepherd is saying, you're going to be equipped. You're going to be strengthened. Your children will be as strong as they can be here or here or here. I would never want somebody to come to this church when they ought to be someplace else. Never. We need to, everybody needs to be where God has them. And then stay there and mature and grow and listen to the word. And this is where a lot of people, some people, just like being in a family, there are stuff in, you know, when you're dealing with a family, right? Is it all just completely glass, you know, smooth pond, ripple free all the time, every day? No, it's not. There are things that you will walk through, that will happen. And the temptation of the flesh is to say, I'm out of here. And you see that a lot in the world. People just leave. I'm done with you. And that's in the body of Christ, too. People have let it get it where, you know, I don't care. I'm out of here. I'm mad. And they miss out. If we're mad, we ought to deal with it and go to the person and deal with what needs to be dealt with, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Should we leave? We want to be, I don't know about you, but I want all God has for me. And I know I have an enemy. And if God tells me to be somewhere, what's the first thing that the enemy is going to say? You don't need to go there for any number of reasons. He's going to tell you the next thing, you know, he's going to bring fear, he's going to bring whatever. Because what's he trying to do? Stop you from being where you're supposed to be, right? So when God tells us to go somewhere and be there, then we ought to know that we have an enemy and he's going to try to get stuff so that we don't be in the will of God, right? That's just the way he operates. So he'll try to stir up this, he'll try to stir up that, or whatever. And regardless, it can be small things, it can be large things, but I've been around, you know, in church world long enough to just see stuff happen. Well, people get mad. I mean, I saw this one couple, not going to go into details, but they didn't like a certain couple in the church. Just didn't like them. Didn't like them. And had a problem with them. It just went around for years. And then finally they decided they were going to leave the church. And they did. In like December. Went on somewhere else. And the other couple ended up leaving like 4 or 5 months later. Actually 6 months later. They were gone. And so, and going on specifically to go do something else. Not just leaving and run away. They were moved out of state. But the people that had the problem finally left, and then the people they had a problem with were gone within 6 months. And they just wandered around after that. Never got to where they needed to be. Because they had some problem with something, they couldn't get over it. The devil works this way. But we know that. So we're not ignorant of his devices. And we are going to be strong. God has a place for us, and he wants us to grow and be strong, and he wants to equip us. And so we want to be in the center of that. And part of the way he's going to do that is through the anointed teaching of the word in a setting like this. It's for us to get the word and be grown up. Now let's go over to 1 Peter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 5. Praise God. He is so good. He has marvelous plans for all of us. Things coming down the pipe. Just marvelous. He has things. I want everything that he has for me. I want to be strong and equipped. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. That means feed the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over these entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And notice what he said. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. If you look on your scripture sheet, that right under there, I have that in the Living Bible. It says, feed the flock of God. That's what it means. Shepherd, when you see it said Jesus is the chief shepherd, he's the overseer. When you see it says shepherd the flock among you, it's saying feeding the flock of God. Feeding with what? The Word of God. Not man's opinions, not things that the latest, greatest, you know, some opinion that somebody wrote or some, you know, new idea, but the Word of God is what's going to change our life. And that's what we're getting fed. That's what's going to equip us. That's what's going to change us. The eternal Word of God. And we need to be in the right place that God says, this is where you need to be to get what you need for your journey. The right place. Being equipped and strengthened and built up. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at, look on your scripture sheet real quick. We read this last week, so I'm not going to take time to turn there. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow. We're going to grow by the word. We're going to grow by the word. We need the word. We need the word for us to grow, to be equipped. Now look at, let's turn over to 2 Timothy. We'll spend a little bit of time there. Thank you, Lord. Second Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3. We're getting in the heart of what I had for today. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is the Word. Jesus is the Word. This is the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, for every good work. Does that sound again like what we read earlier? Equipped. Thoroughly equipped. Now, what's he saying is going to equip us? The word. We also read gifts were given to equip us. The anointed, preached word of God will equip us, will teach us in a different way than when we just read it on our own. We don't take one at the exclusion of the other. We need both. We will get things in an atmosphere like this that we won't get any other way. God knows what he's doing, and he knows how he set it up so that we'll be strong and equipped. The Holy Spirit does things when through ministry gifts, he is in the anointing of God. He is equipping us. He's speaking spirit to spirit, something quickened. That will be changed and equipped. But look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice, it didn't say all Scripture is given to make us have warm fuzzies all the time, every time we hear it preached. Do you know it didn't say that? I know this might make you not make you do backflips, but this is what I got on my heart, and I believe this is what we got this morning. This is the right thing. So let your heart receive it. People, and we'll read this in a minute, a lot of people are looking for something that makes them feel good all the time. Now, God wants our best all the time. But not everything in the Word, and not when the Word is given, and not what we need to hear all the time, is going to make us do backflips and make us feel all ooey-gooey, warm and fuzzy, and oh, everything is great all the time. If that's what we are, that's what some people are seeking. And if they hear anything that makes them the least bit kind of, well, I might have to change or do anything, they bolt. But that's not what the Word of God says that it's for. Look at it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction. We don't like that, do we? Our flesh does not like that. It wants to say, correction? Me? What are you talking about? I have it all together. I don't need any correction. I'm smooth sailing, right? But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that's not true, right? Does anybody think they've honestly arrived? You don't need any tweaking whatsoever? If any of us think that and we're married, we can find real quick, we can get a second opinion to see whether that's true. Or if we have kids, or basically anybody that we live with closely at all, we could find out if that's a true statement. No, I think we all are pretty well know that we haven't arrived. But on the other hand, then we can hear something that's saying we ought to do something a little different. And we say, no way, I'm not doing that. We get mad. Let me tell you this. When you're getting mad and upset when you hear something, especially if you hear somebody preach something. Listen to me now, this will change your life. If you hear somebody preach, whether it's me or anybody else, and you get mad, and you're just mad, something in you is just like, that, and you're just mad, that's not the way God is. Just look at it right now, and if that's ever happened to you, or ever does happen to you in the future, when you start getting all upset, let me ask you, is the Spirit of God mad or upset? I'm talking about you want to attack somebody, you want to just go, no, he's not. Where's that coming from? Even if the person were saying the wrong thing, do you think that's the right type of response? No, that's coming from somewhere else. You know what I found? Sometimes that's the enemy stirring you up saying, that's wrong, when he knows that's the thing that will set you free. I've seen that in my own life, sorry to say. Experienced it. This will set you free. Gone to special meetings. Heard people say something, getting more and more irritated while the person's speaking. Because I thought what they were saying was not right, or I had some other view of it. To where when I left that, I was just irritated, went back to the hotel room and blah, 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 blah. And I realized later, after I'd seen this a number of times, I was wrong. I realized what was really going on is the truth was being preached. And the enemy is just like, you don't want to hear that. That's wrong. No, because that's going to take some space away from me. That's going to take some control that I have over your life. Don't listen to that. That person's wrong. His hair's messed up. His suit stinks. Don't listen to him. Seriously. He'll use anything he can to get the person to get you to not listen to somebody. Where does that come from? Division, strife, envy. Whose work is that? God's? And somebody will say, oh, the Holy Spirit is keeping me away from this. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not his work. That's not how he behaves. No, he's not critical. Now, I'm not saying if you hear something, you're like, you know what, I don't believe that. This is what I see. What should you have to say differently? You ought to have Scripture to back up your opinion. And what will happen is if you're just mad because you think that's wrong, but you can't really point to any scripture, that's called religion. And we all have some of it. And when you start getting mad, you say, this guy's wrong. Well, I don't know why, but he's wrong. It's because there's something that's been put in you over a period of time, and you can't put your finger at it. But what it is it disagrees with what you think is right when what you think is right isn't based on scripture. Because if it was like, you know what, I hear what the man's saying, he's got a good heart, but really I believe this is right and this is right, and God bless him. If it's in a spirit, you could do that and be totally calm. There's a difference. But when you're all fired up and ready to go and critical, you better watch it, because if you're out of peace, for any reason, that should be a red flag that something's wrong. If I'm mad and uptight and out of peace, I ought to say, wait a minute, let me settle down before I really determine what's going on. I need to get back, because the fact is I could be wrong. I could be in the wrong here. Let me get back to peace to where I can say, okay, normal. And then I'm thinking clearly, and then I go, wait a minute. You know, that is in the Bible. That is scriptural. Now, I will tell you, I know without going into the details, there was a certain topic, certain issue that I went, that I thought I had some handles on. I was going a certain direction and felt like, you know, there was two different views on some things. And I was saying, what about this God? And I really feel like it's this. And I have this opinion and whatever. And got mad about some things over time. Was just like, well, I don't understand this. And I think it should be this way. And I'm not going to go into the details of what it was. But I realized, you know what? It doesn't matter who says what about it. It matters what the Word says. And I had to go back to the Word, and I looked at some certain resources and looked at what they had to say. And initially, I was mad with what this certain people had to say. Didn't want to hear it. But then I realized, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to have to look at this. And I did. And looked at the Word, and I read these certain things in 30 different translations, at least. And looked at it. And the way I had thought and wanted to believe this was, I realized it's not in the Word. I was wrong. And I had to say, these people are right. I was wrong. And the Word, I said, I see that. And I see that this is the Word. This is the way it is. Doesn't matter who preached it. I thank God I went down that path and changed. And that's the way it is for all of us. We need to look at the Word. And the Word does not, again, just all, if somebody makes you say, oh, you know, it's just all about just how great you are. It's not. Thank God for what Jesus did. He has done, he has finished a work. His blood was shed so that we could be righteous. Thank God for that. But that is not all there is to it all the time. And that because of that, everything is always great, like what he said. For instruction in righteousness, that's one of the things. But there's also correction and reproof and doctrine. And if we say, I'm fine, all I want to hear is how great I am all the time. Honey, buddy, we know we've established the fact that we're not arrived. And if I'm going to stay there and think I can't hear anything but how great I am, where am I going to stay? Right where I am, because I don't think anything has to change, ever. Now, because certain people have been beat up and people have gone now over here, and all they heard here is how they can't do anything right, and you're stupid, and why don't you just get your act together for God? And on, they don't want to hear anybody preach anything. And who gets the blame some of that time? God, yes. But that church, that pastor that was speaking like this, I don't want to hear any pastors. I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to be under anybody. Who does that sound like is instigating that? If the Bible tells us that we need to be hooked up, what happens is people will get offended by what some man did, right or wrong. And keep in mind, it's not just one person. Usually it's something that maybe we got offended. Maybe the person could be off. But if we're walking in love, we won't just go on off in a huff. We'll say, what do I need to do, God? And we'll deal with it like that. But so many people have got offended and mad and run away, and they cut themselves off from the actual what God needs, what God wants to do in their lives. So it's not all or one. There's a balance, and we need the full word to grow strong. I thank God for the word and that we can grow. And God, if we're going with God, let me tell you something. If I'm not a pilot, but I know enough, if I get in a plane and set my coordinates for a certain place, and I don't make any corrections from here to there, and if the autopilot doesn't make any corrections from here to there, and there's wind or anything blowing me, I will not make it to that place. If it's San Diego, from here, I could be 1 degree off from here, going to San Diego. By the time I get there, I'm a ways off, right? And if I don't constantly correct and constantly do something with that, I'm not going to make it to where I need to go. And that's the same with us in life. God is speaking to us all the time saying, yeah, just tweak that, change that a little bit. He is not going, moron, idiot, you should have done this. And no, that's the voice of the devil. So the devil's not stupid, and watch this. This is what he's done. Is that through, we will mess up and do something, and the devil will come in and say, stupid idiot, try to pass himself off as God. Certain people have gotten too hard of a view of what God has said, and so they'll say certain things. And so then people feel beat up, and they think God is beating them up. And so they want to get away from God, and they want to get away from pastors. They want to get away from church because church just makes you feel like this. It's not church or pastors. It's the devil. It's the enemy. He's trying to divide. He's trying to put people and get them out here so he can what? Pick them off. That's what he does. So no, God is not the culprit. And men aren't the culprit. If we'll just yield to him in just humility and sincerity and say, God, I don't know about this certain thing. What about this? Let him show you in the word what needs to change. And if he leads you on to someplace else, then you do it decently in order. And he will do that if where you need to be is someplace else. But going out in a huff or getting mad and seeing somebody stupid is just you're leaving in the wrong way, setting you up to the wrong way. You get there and it'll be the same thing. Verse 16, though all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Skip down to verse 2 in chapter 4. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Now, Timothy's a pastor. Paul's writing to a pastor, young pastor. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Notice that. Convince, rebuke, if necessary, exhort, that's encourage. With all long suffering and teaching. That's what's going to change us. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. This is happening. People do not want to hear you tell them anything that's going to challenge what they're doing at all. And so what do they do? I can only listen to this person. I can only do this. I can't be in a church. I can't. I am away from everything. I can only receive from this. That's not scriptural. That's doing exactly what he's talking about. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. I just want to hear the good. I just want to hear how great I am. But honey, you're going in the ground. Your life is going in the ground. But I'm doing great and God loves me. Yes, he loves you, but you're destroying your life. But I don't want to hear that. God loves me and that's all I want to hear. Yes, he loves you. You're destroying your life. If somebody were headed off a cliff and you loved them, you would do whatever you had to do. You would tackle them. You would stop their car, whatever, to keep them from going off, right? Would you stand there and go, oh, you know, if they're driving a car, hey, you know, you look great today, but I just want to say the cliff here. You went right by me. Okay, sorry. That's what people do. I don't want to hear that on my life because that'll make me feel condemned. It's not the word making you feel condemned. It's the devil. He's the one trying to beat us up. And if we know the truth will set us free. We say he doesn't have any authority. But I also want to know what God says so I can avoid going off the cliff. Right? Amen. I want to know. I want God to show me. I want to know. That's why I've submitted myself to people over me. Thank God that they can speak and I listen to them. You know, I have people over me that I can go talk to, a chain that have been around longer than I have, that know the word, that are more seasoned, that I can go say, what about this? What should I be thinking about this? What do you say? Because if we're not submitted to anybody, we're out of the line of God's word. And again, because people have taken it way over here, and did you notice back in 1 Peter? Look on your scripture sheet. He said, verse 2, shepherd the flock, 1 Peter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples. Notice how he said not being lords. There are some people that have taken that wrong. I mean, that have done the wrong thing. Some pastors have acted like they're better than other people. And that's just flat out wrong. It's contrary to scripture. But because some people have done that, people have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and said, oh, we don't need anything. That's just as bad. Where is it? Somewhere in the middle. God has given us gifts. And we ought to just follow it. We say, God, if you gave it, man, I want it. And I will tell you this, and I practice this, and again, all these things I'm telling you are because it's the truth. Wherever you go, you take it with you. Because I've seen it when I wasn't a pastor, when I was on the other side. You honor, I'm saying this because it's me, it's because it's the word of God. You honor the gifts that God has put in your life, who God's connected you to. You honor and you pull from that anointing. You come expecting God to speak to you. You will see things just enlighten in your life. It is so amazing to be now on this side and to see people that want to hear what that reverence, not reverence me, reverence God. It's an honor for him. People have gotten it confused with men, but you're saying, God, you put this into my life. And I honor it for that reason. I see things come out of my mouth. It's just pulling it out. But I see other people that don't esteem it at all. You can't say anything. I mean, it's just like there's just nothing. Pull, no pull. Why? It's not an honor for God. We've gotten our eyes on man. I'll tell you, when I was in Lincoln, and I knew something about the pastoral office, and I knew I would, when I would talk to that pastor and whatever, my pastor, I would just be like, I expect wisdom to come out of your mouth. When I talk, I expect things, direction and things to come out of your mouth. I expect, because you're anointed to do this. It's not you. Don't get your eyes on a man that's the devil. The devil's fault finding. God's not. Hallelujah. People have been derailed because of things like this. Amen. Hallelujah. These things, while you notice nobody's like running around the room or anything, but these things will save your life. And we want to know, because it just as the body works the way it ought to work, as we get in our place and we pull away from God, we'll all be strong. We'll all be equipped. All be right where we need to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Can you take just a little more? I know I've gone, well, I'm serious. You know I ask this once in a while. But there's just a couple things I had in my heart. Can you take just a little more? Otherwise, we'll shut down right now. We all ready? All right, stay hooked up then. There's just a couple more things I just want to show you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go over a couple more things. We're believing that we're getting everything God has for us this morning, right? 1 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal or natural, and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Now notice this. Verse 4. Because we see this. I just want you guys to be able to recognize this when you hear people talking or other things out there, because there's a lot of stuff. Notice verse 3. He says, "You are still carnal. For there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' or another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" What does this look like today? People say it like this. "Well, I'm of," and you insert a certain ministry. "Well, I'm of them. I can't listen to this. Well, I'm just like this. This is all I can listen to. So I'm like this." And I'm not talking about people that minister to you, because I believe that's God-given. There are people that you're hooked up with. There are people that you're hooked up with and that you receive from, and that's of God. What I'm talking about is when people are like haughty. "Well, I'm of these guys." "Oh, you're that? You couldn't possibly know what I know. You don't have any revelation in this area." That's exactly what he's talking about. And what's he call those people? Now, those people would think, "I'm super spiritual, right? I know more than you," kind of like a spiritual snob. "Well, you know, I only eat at this restaurant. You know, I mean, I can't listen to those people. They don't have this revelation." Now, it may be true that this person doesn't see certain things, but a spiritual person wouldn't say that. They realize they could get something from anybody. What does Paul call people that react like this? Carnal. And what did he say in verse 1? He said, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes. What's he saying? That behavior is babyish. Babyish. You're baby. But, like we were saying a little bit last week, it seems like people think, well, I know. I'm further. I can't receive from this person. Bible says you're baby, right? But the enemy will try to take us down this road. And he's subtle. You say, oh, that never happened to me. Well, that's how we get into, if we think something will never happen to us, that's how we get there. Then we won't be looking for it. Then we won't say, oh, I recognize this. I'm not going down that way. That's pride. Forget that. No, we ought to be, number one, we go where God has told us to be. We hook up with Him. And then we follow, thank God for the people that God has put in our lives, and we honor them, and we thank them, but this attitude of, well, I can't, this side is so-and-so, and I just can't, I'm over here, I'm of this camp. No, what did God say? He's going to grow us up into the unity. And more often than not, I've seen that there's a lot of semantics involved. People are actually saying a lot the same thing, but people hear it differently because of different terms and whatever. But no, we just need to be humble before God and honor people and honor the gifts He's put in our life, honor the people that we're hooked up with, esteem the Word of God, esteem Him. And we'll get fully equipped in wherever we need to go. Be fully equipped. Do you know humility has a lot to do with receiving from God? We're not going to go. You see that over and over in the Bible. People that are humble, saying, you know, not getting, looking down at other people, but humble, hot, just going before and saying, God, whatever, use me. Now we want to be fully equipped. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.